You need to remember something. Nothing is impossible with Jesus. Also remember this. Nothing is possible for us to solve these matters unless we trust the Lord Jesus. And as we trust Him, then nothing is impossible for us as we trust Him to take care of the need. Just believe on Him. And sometimes it takes a crisis. It takes a trauma sometimes for people to ever turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes they don't even turn to Him in a trauma or a crisis. They may get more bitter. Don't you get bitter. You can get better if you'll trust the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining Sheridan Baptist Church today. You're about to hear a message entitled Christians in Crisis by Pastor James Strickland. If you'd like to find out more about Sheridan Baptist, visit their website, SharonBaptistConcord.com, or join them in person or on Facebook Live Stream Sundays at 10:45, Wednesdays at 7 p.m., Sharon Baptist Concord. Here's Pastor James Strickland.
Indeed, the story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus is found in John chapter 11. It's a real lengthy passage. I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to read just the first 14 verses in John chapter 11. But there's tremendous, tremendous value, tremendous truths here that I want to share a few of those with us this morning. I'm going to share a message about Christians in crisis. And certainly, Martha and Mary had a terrible crisis when their brother got sick and in fact did die. So listen to the passage in John chapter 11, verse 1 through 14. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the place, same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, but because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said he unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Have you ever had an expectation of someone doing something for you and you really depended upon it and they didn't come through? Have you ever had someone that you expected to minister to you in a certain way and it just did not happen? Do you remember how disillusioned you were? How disappointed you were? I can remember days like that, can't you? I'm sure that's happened to all of us at some point in time in our life. Well, this story here is just no different. Now, this crisis we're looking at here didn't just come up today. It goes way back to the first century and even goes beyond that. It's kind of applicable, if you will say, to every single one of us. How disappointed unrealized expectations are. And it brings a crisis in our lives, doesn't it? Well, this is just an example here of one life crisis. Your crisis may be altogether different from theirs, and mine may be different from yours, but I'll say this. They all are very similar in some ways. When crises come into our lives, they really cause us to really have despair sometimes, disappointment sometimes, disillusionment sometimes. But here in John 11, you find a family situation with Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. And Lazarus was sick. He fell gravely ill, the Bible tells us, and we know that he did in fact die. What a crisis this was in that family. Now, when crises come into our lives, where do you go to get the help that you need? Where did they go to get the help that they needed? Of course, they went to the Lord Jesus. Christ is not our last hope. He is our only hope. And you find that true here in this particular passage. We don't have to be overcome by crises in our lives. We can be overcomers, and the Lord wants us to be overcomers in our lives if we'll trust Him. And I want you to look at this passage with me and see some things about these Christians here in crisis, because they love the Lord, they put their faith in Him, they trusted Him, and the Bible says Jesus loved them dearly. We know from history, we know from reading the Bible, that Jesus would pass through Bethany quite often. And when he did, he'd spend time with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in their home. So we know that Jesus loved them. He spent time with them. And now they have a crisis, and they call for Jesus to come and help. Look at this passage with you. Three or four things I want you to see. First of all, I want you to see Mary and Martha's real desperation when their brother Lazarus got sick. Now, they did what we all should do in their desperation. They called upon the Lord. We should also, in our difficulties, in our problems, in our crises, we should call upon the Lord just like they did. But nonetheless, desperation came into their lives. A crisis came. Crises come to our lives just as it did here. Many times we have no control over the crisis that comes. We don't sometimes cause it. We don't bring it on, so to speak. And when it comes, we don't know how to deal with it. And in fact, we cannot deal with it, can we? So they're in the same situation here. Look at their desperation. Why were they so desperate? Well, first of all, notice this. Their loved one, Lazarus, had grown gravely ill. He fell ill suddenly. We don't know what the nature of his illness was. We don't know how long it might have lingered before he got gravely, terminally ill, but we know that suddenly he became ill and unto death, terminal that it was. Now, I don't know of anything in our lives that would bring us to an immediate crisis in our lives than the death of a loved one. Now, you talk about a crisis. If you've never had a crisis in your life, one of your close loved ones pass away, you're going to be thrown into a crisis of which you have no control. And so here we find them in desperation because their brother Lazarus was sick. Now, notice something else. In their desperation, as Lazarus was so sick and gravely ill, what did they do? They sent for the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 3 and you'll see it. You see that Jesus loved them. He loved them dearly. And I want you to understand, don't ever forget, always remember, Jesus loves you. It doesn't matter what you're going through, what crisis you may be facing, how your family is, whatever it is in your life. Always remember, Jesus loves you. Now, he was familiar with what was going on in Lazarus' life. He knew better than anybody what was going on. So they send for the Lord Jesus. They have a dispatch, you might say, and they say, call on Jesus. Tell Jesus we need him desperately. Well, Jesus can do miracles. We know he can come and he can heal our brother because we've seen Jesus open the eyes of the blind. He can do miracles. He'll come and he'll heal our brother. So please go get Jesus. Let's call him to come before us. Well, the dispatcher, the messenger went, and I'm sure he explained to Jesus the nature of what was going on in Lazarus' life. Not that Jesus needed to be brought up to speed on what was going on in Lazarus' life. He knew it. But nonetheless, the message was given. Lazarus is gravely ill. Mary and Martha desperately, in their desperation, they want you to come. Please come. Lazarus is growing weaker day by day. They're so desperate. But listen, you can always trust Jesus to do the right thing. He did the right thing here in this passage in their lives, and He'll always do the right thing in your life and in mine. We may not always understand what He's doing and how He goes about it, but I promise you this, He'll do the right thing. So you see them in a point of desperation here, but then you see the delay. Jesus, in verse 4 through 7, delayed 2 days. After receiving the message, knowing how gravely ill Lazarus was, knowing the desperation that the sisters were in, He delayed coming for 2 days. Let me ask you a question. What if someone dear to you has a real crisis in their life, and they send to you, and they desperately beg you, please come. You can help. We need you right away. What would you do? I tell you what most of us would do. We'd drop whatever it was we were doing, and we'd just pick up. We'd go immediately to that precious loved one, those persons, whoever they may be. We'd go to that person's need, to their cry, and we'd do all that we possibly could to alleviate that crisis or to help them in that crisis. Wouldn't you have expected Jesus to do the same thing? But look, alas, He waited 2 days, knowing the graveness of that situation. Does that sound strange to you? We wouldn't do that, would we? But our Lord Jesus did. Why did He do this? Why did Jesus not just drop ministry wherever He was and pick up and go straight back to Bethany, straight to the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha? Let me ask you something. Do you ever wonder why Jesus doesn't always answer your request immediately? There's a reason for His delay here. I want you to see it. Look at verse 4 and you see it. Indeed, the crisis was desperate. Indeed, He had delayed now 2 days. Now, Jesus said to His disciples, men, this sickness in Lazarus' life is not unto death. What in the world do you suppose He meant by that? Lazarus died. What did He mean when He said this sickness of Lazarus is not unto death? Well, soon they would see, soon they would understand the reason behind His delay of waiting 2 more days to come. There's always a reason Jesus does the things that He does. There's always a reason Jesus maybe doesn't answer your request just exactly when you want Him to. Why was the reason here? The opportunity was here. Jesus said, this is for the glory of God and the Son of God might be glorified. It's to let those sisters see and let all those crowds around them see and understand and trust the Lord Jesus more than they ever had before. Now listen, they were in a crisis they couldn't solve themselves. We have crises, all of them. We can't solve them. So what did they do? They called for Jesus. What did He do? He waited 2 more days. Oh, so desperate. But notice that not just the reason He delayed, but look at the reality of why He delayed. He said, this crisis is for the glory of God and the glorification of the Son of God. Listen, every situation in your life, the Lord Jesus will get honor and glory and praise from it if we'll just learn to call on Him as Mary and Martha did here. You need to remember something. Nothing is impossible with Jesus. Also remember this, nothing is possible for us to solve these matters unless we trust the Lord Jesus. And as we trust Him, then nothing is impossible for us as we trust Him to take care of the need. Just believe on Him. In this situation, God would be glorified. Now, God would be glorified if Jesus had come earlier and just touched Lazarus or said some words over Lazarus and he had been healed. God would have been glorified, but how much more glory would the Lord get by raising Lazarus from the dead? They'd seen Jesus heal people before. They'd never seen anybody raised from the dead. How much glory did this bring to God? How much glory did this bring to Jesus when He raised him from the dead, you see? Well, in each crisis we face, The reality of it is God wants to get glory, honor, and praise through it as we put our faith and our trust in Him. So there was a reason for it. Here's the reality in it. Now, look at a third thought here. Look, as Jesus finally comes 2 days later, see their disappointment when Jesus comes. You see that in verse 14. You see that in verse number 20 and 21 and 32, along there. The crisis proved to be exactly what they feared it was going to be. They called for Jesus. He didn't show up. 2 more days, Lazarus died, and their greatest fear was realized. Lazarus, their brother, died. What disappointment do you suppose they experienced when they called for Jesus? He had plenty of time to get there in those 2 days, but he didn't come. And now the situation has grown hopeless, they feel. He has died. Look at the death of Lazarus, the greatest fear they had. Did anyone help the situation now? Lazarus was sick. Now he died. Is there any hope? I know Jesus loved Lazarus. The Bible said that he did. He loved them all. Loved them so much. Now, Lazarus is dead. Here the sisters are so disappointed. They were going to just miss him. What in the world were they going to do? How are they going to carry on without their dear brother in the home? Just a few weeks ago, we attended a funeral of our friends. And his wife was so grieved at that sermon. And someone asked her, I was standing near enough to hear, and they asked this woman, what do you need? And she looked them square in the eye, and here's what she said, I'll never forget it. She said, I need him. And he was dead. They were going to bury him a few hours later. I need him. That's exactly what Mary and Martha thought. We need Lazarus. Now he's dead, and Jesus is not here. Where would you be if you called on Jesus in a desperate situation and it got worse and worse and worse and your greatest fear was realized? Death came. Would you think like they did, disappointed? There's nothing now anybody can do. It's too late. Well, that's how their thoughts ran. I'm sure yours or mine might do the same thing. From the death of Lazarus here and their disappointment, look at their despair. Both sisters felt the same emotions. They were desperate. They were so disappointed that Jesus hadn't come. Lazarus had died. Lord, when he did come, Lord, if you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died. Almost like they were blaming Jesus for Lazarus dying. Lord, if you'd have been, you could have healed him if you'd just been here. But now it's too late. Now there's nothing that you can even do. Wait a minute. There's never anything that Jesus can't do. Don't ever forget that. Have you ever been in a situation yourself where you felt like there's nothing even God can do about this in my personal situation? Don't ever think that. There's never a time when there's nothing God can do. God can always do something. He might wait 2 days, 2 weeks, or 2 years. It doesn't matter. In their despair, they call for Jesus, and he comes 2 days later, and Lazarus is dead, been buried 4 days. Too late, Lord. I'm sure they got kind of perturbed, if it'd be the right word, of why Jesus didn't come when they immediately called for him. You ever had a situation where you prayed for something and you expected God to answer right away and God didn't answer right away? And you ever asked the Lord, Lord, why didn't you answer me? Lord, why didn't you hear me? Why didn't you respond, Lord? You know how bad I needed an answer. You know how bad I needed this particular thing solved in my life, and you didn't show up. Disappointment. Well, they didn't stop to think about the fact that Jesus was a resurrection and the life, and that he could and he would raise Lazarus from the dead. Too late for you, Lord. Nothing can be done. Oh, yes, there's always something can be done. The Lord can, and he will. He did here, and you see it there through their disappointment. I want you to see how their disappointment turns to a great delight in their life. It's found here in verse 38 through verse 44. Didn't read those verses, but you can go ahead and look over there, read them for yourself. I'm so thankful that we don't have to leave this passage with Lazarus being dead and buried, and the ladies being in such desperation, so disappointed, so much, sorely disappointed that Jesus hadn't come, and now Jesus shows up. Now, look how the story ends on a very positive note. That's exactly how your situations and mine will end if you put Jesus at the forefront of it and you put your faith and your trust in Him. I promise you, it won't end negatively. It will end positively here. There's a great ending to this passage. I want you to see the delight that they experienced in their lives. The first thing they were delighted in was that the burden they were carrying was now lifted. Look at verse 38 and verse 39. And verse 38, Jesus, therefore, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. They understood. You see, Jews don't embalm bodies. I don't think they do to this day. They just take someone out quickly and bury them. If you don't embalm a body in the state of North Carolina, you have to take them out right quickly and bury them. You can't have a viewing of the public. So they understood. They had already taken Lazarus out. They had buried him. He had been in the cave or in the grave 4 days. They had understood that there should be some foul stench when they rolled that stone away from him being dead in that cave 4 days. They expected the smell of death. But alas, when the stone was rolled away, there was no stench of death. That's impossible to them. That's inconceivable to them. How could a person be dead 4 days and buried, and you open up their tomb, so to speak, and there not be an odor? But there was no odor coming from that tomb. The burden of death to them now was removed. Trust Jesus. Things that you and I think are inconceivable, things that you and I think are impossible, things that really ought to be may not be that at all if you'll just trust Jesus. Their burden now was removed. Their brother now was restored. Jesus had the stone rolled away. Jesus groaned in the spirit and he said, Father, I thank you always hear me. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. Isn't it sort of strange to you how that just the presence of Jesus and a few words changes everything? Listen to me. In your life and mine, the presence of Jesus Christ in your life and mine, and just a few words, maybe there'll be few words from the Bible, maybe there'll be few words in your heart from the Lord Himself, but Jesus' presence and a few words changes everything. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And indeed he did. The Bible says he came forth from the tomb, walking, very much alive, yet still wrapped in his grave linens in which they had buried him. But notice, he's alive again. That's like, as Pam sang, he's alive, he's alive. After being dead 4 days, Jesus comes and speaks a few words, and he comes out alive, more alive than he's ever been. I promise you this, listen, you may have a burden of one sort or another. I don't have to know, nobody else may never know but you and the Lord, the burden you may be carrying in your heart and your life right now. I promise you, He'll remove that burden if you put your faith and your trust in Him. Their burden was removed. Their brother was restored. But I want you to see how this passage concludes. Look at verse number 40 and verse number 42. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Verse 42, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. All this was done, not just for Mary and Martha's benefit, it was for theirs too, but it's for all those crowds of people who stood around. You see, when a death takes place, or took place in those days in Israel, there were a crowd of just official mourners. They would come to the home. They would come to the graveside. They'd come along, the family who was grieving. They would just weep, and they would cry, and they would pray. They would just have a big event concerning someone who died. So the crowd was gathered there around Mary and Martha. But Jesus said, what I'm doing is not just for you, Martha and Mary. It's for this crowd that's gathered around too, that they may believe who I am, that they may believe that God the Father has sent me into this world, that they may believe in me more than they ever have before. Don't you know their belief, Mary and Martha's belief and all the others, their belief was restored as well? Why do you think crises come into your life? I've had so many people over the years say, preacher, why me? I try to live for Jesus. I do the best I know how with God's help. And I go to church. I live right. I help my neighbor. I do all the things I'm supposed to do. And look what's happened to me. Does God not love me? Why do these things happen to me? Well, I ask the question, why not? Why not me? Am I more deserving that God would bless me than He would bless you? Am I so critical that God would curse me and cause a crisis to come in my life and let your life be free? No, why not me? I'm no more deserving than anybody else. But He said, it's because I want them to believe and trust in me. Do you see the glory of God in the crises that come into your life? If you trust Him and you commit it to Him, and you dedicate it to Him, leave it in God's hands. Don't try to solve it yourself. Just put it in His hands. Leave it with Him. I promise you, you'll see the glory of God in it. You'll see the good in it. You'll see the reason why God doesn't always answer as you would think He would. You'll see the reality of it. You'll see the reason for it. Listen, what about your crisis today? I can almost guarantee there's someone in this congregation right now, someone viewing us on Facebook, someone's got something going on in your life, some sort of crisis that maybe nobody else knows about. Why then did God have this message brought today to help you? It's that you might trust Him. You don't have to always see all the details. You don't have to always understand everything. Just understand this. Jesus loves you. You can call on Him, and He'll take care of it. That's all that you need to know. You may have the same results that Mary and Martha had. Great delight in seeing God at work in your life, and you'll give Him the honor and glory and praise, and listen, you'll get the good. Now, I want to close with this. Not knowing. I can't know. I don't know. Have no way of knowing what's going on in your life. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell anybody else, but you do need to tell Jesus. Not that He doesn't know, He knows, but He wants you to call on Him. And sometimes it takes a crisis. It takes a trauma sometimes for people to ever turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes they don't even turn to Him in a trauma or a crisis. They may get more bitter. Don't you get bitter. You can get better if you'll trust the Lord. Amen? So, I want to extend the invitation to you. The invitation is the same one that is given time and time and time again. It's twofold. Number one, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He preaches this message through His messenger today that you might trust Him, you might believe in Him, give your life to Him. And then secondly, the crisis you may be facing, whatever it is. It may be something insignificant to somebody else. It may be a mountain in your life. But I promise you, God's able to take care of it. Christians in crisis, we have them. But I promise you this. There's victory through every single one of them if you'll trust the Lord. Would you trust Him today? Would you come to Him today? Would you receive His help today? Call on Him today like Mary and Martha did. And I promise you, He'll work in your life as He did in theirs. And you'll get the good and He'll get the glory. Amen?
That was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church and his message entitled Christians in Crisis. You can listen to that message again on their website, SharonBaptistConcord.com, or visit us or watch live stream on Facebook Sundays at 10:45, Wednesdays at 7 p.m., Sharon Baptist Concord. God bless you.